you see somehow the strengths and weaknesses of Fortran. The strength of Fortran is that it has truly excellent capabilities of dealing with arrays, whether they be arrays of data elements or here arrays of processors. The weakness of Fortran is that it has great strengths for arrays and not terribly good strengths for any other data structures. So Fortran was born in the days when scientific computing was dominated by arrays. And is it still actually, if not dominated by arrays, pervaded by arrays, because arrays are certainly the natural data structure to describe the world, because the world is three-dimensional. And that would appear to be naturally described in most problems by three-dimensional arrays, and if you do two-dimensional problems, two-dimensional arrays. So there is no doubt that even if we want to have nifty linked lists or trees or what have you as data structures, arrays are, I mean, nature has chosen arrays to have a special significance. The problem, of course, is that even in a three-dimensional world described by an array, when we do multi-grid or some adaptive algorithm, the resultant data structure doesn't look like a simple array so obviously. So actually, this particular foil illustrates several things. We have a template called X, which has 40 elements. We have, so this, remember, takes no space. It's just an abstract thing. We have here three arrays, A, B, C, also dimension 40, and we have four processors. So this actually already sort of gives us a hint of the two basic instructions, which are align and distribute. So what does align tell you? So align tells you the following, and it's sort of at least conceptually quite interesting. I remember I told you templates label the fundamental entities in our world, in our virtual processors. Now a given virtual processor or a given entity in our world will typically have several attributes. If I'm doing quantum chromodynamics, then my world is actually spanned by a four-dimensional grid of gluons. Those gluon particles are described by eight complex entities, or 16 Fortran variables. So such a fundamental entity, so each of the template points actually has 16 values associated with it, which you could describe by 16 arrays. Again, when we do, for instance, numerical relativity, that is naturally described by 10 points at each point in three-dimensional space. If you do computational fluid dynamics, then you have pressure, energy, and velocity, a three velocity, that's 5 points described at each point in space. So most physical problems, they associate with every element of the template, or every template position, maybe more precisely, a bunch of things. And so that's what the align assertion is meant to do. The align tells you how to associate with a given template position the attributes. So in most cases, the aligner is actually done in a very simple fashion, which is illustrated here. Here we essentially have an abstract world, which is of size 40. We label it abstractly with X. We have three attributes defined at each point, which are just AI, BI, and CI, I running from 1 to 40. We want to make certain that AI, BI, and CI are always stored in the same processor and therefore associated with the same virtual processor. So we align with X, which AI, A, B, and C, which guarantees that a given element of A, B, and C will always be stored in the same processor, because they're going to be stored in the same virtual processor, which is a template index, and we will always assign everything associated with a given template index to a given processor. So align is a pretty useful instruction, because it's going to guarantee that you properly associate the various components of the problem together. And a line has a great deal of complexity, we'll see later on, most of which is not necessary and is really an exercise in linguistics, however some of it can be used. Alright, so we've defined four processes here which have four different colors, and we and here we are asserting the distribution of the template. If the template is the set of virtual processes, once we've asserted the distribution of the template, then the distribution of the arrays which are aligned with the template follows. So we have arrays, so we haven't described these particular distributions, but we can but it's not terribly surprising that one of the natural distributions, which is very common, which is, has a special name, is the so-called block distribution. So a block distribution in one dimension says that if you have, in this case here, an array of size 40 and four processors, the block distribution puts elements 1 through 10 in the first processor, 11 through 20 in the second, 21 through 30 in the third, 31 through 40 in the fourth. And it's called block because we block the elements of the arrays together. And we know from the process example that for any problem where there's locality, where the communication is between neighbors in the array indices, the block distribution is always going to be a good distribution. So a block distribution is designed for particle problems, partial differential equation problems, any of the computations where the basic algorithms are local. And it's probably the most important of the simple distribution. It's the most commonly used. It's the one you do for any PDE problem, at least some. So these statements here, if we now take a typical Fortran 90 instruction, C equals A plus B, we told the system everything it wanted to know. We told it how to assign C, A, and B to processors, and the parallelism is applied by the owner computes rule. Notice that this has implicitly load balancing, because the block distribution, well, as long as the number of processors divides the number of the array dimension okay, I mean the template dimension okay, it will automatically assign equal numbers of array elements to each processor. If you look at HPF2, you have the ability to actually put different block sizes in each processor, but for these simple problems, which for most simple problems which you're using the block distribution for, you don't want that. You want equal number of virtual processors or template positions in each physical processor, because that will guarantee load balancing, because for most of these array operations, the computational complexity is independent of the array index. So load balancing is gotten when we just have equal numbers of each element in each processor. So let's see.